This is our first episode in so long.
It's our first episode of 2024.
We haven't done an episode
in like a month.
We did one episode in December, which was the Christmas one. And then before that was before you guys went to Florida and El Paso.
Wow, that was early November.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now we're ready to get back at it.
And we're going to crush it. Because I just got us more fans in Indiana. That have been listening.
Why weren't there fans before?
Yeah, babe. Why weren't there fans before?
That's interesting. Do you have a rebuttal?
No.
All right. Here we go. Welcome back. You have to leave that in for the intro.
Okay.
Everybody, welcome back to the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. We have been MIA for a little while. We slowed down at the end of 2023 in the holiday season and only put out a couple episodes, but it is the new year, 2024, and we are back at it. And going to hit it strong this year. So welcome back, everybody. Thank you for listening. Today, we are going to be talking about the topic of healing. And why? We're going to get to that.
Oh, okay. I'm antsy.
We have
a guest.
We're joined today.
Sorry, it's been a while. I'm antsy.
By a special guest, my lovely, wonderful, and beautiful wife, Angelia.
Hello.
Welcome.
So, all of us here at the table today on the My Life, Your Life podcast, Mr. Sexy Coffee, and then what did you call me?
I started calling you Big Daddy Jenkins.
Yeah.
On the podcast. Okay. And then Big Daddy Wayne was just like my little pet name for you. And then during one episode, you just started using that one instead, as if.
Well, Mr. Sexy Coffee,
and whatever you want to be,
and whatever Zach chooses to refer to me as.
Today, he's a Kansas City Chiefs walking billboard, is what he is.
That's true, but that's because I don't know when this episode's going to get released. But today, while we're recording it, tonight the Chiefs are playing in the first round of the playoffs against the Dolphins. So. Go Chiefs. But every one of us here today at the table are born-again believers, believe in Jesus. Zach and I both have type 1 diabetes, and both have that entire journey that we've gone through with it have prayed and believed and fought for healing. And then my wife, Angelia, here is actually on the prayer ministry healing team at our church. So today I wanted to talk about the topic of healing. And this is probably going to be more than one episode, potentially, because there's a lot that goes into this. There's a lot involved in this.
I would say that probably more than one episode. I don't know that like we'll do a bunch and have them all come out back to back to back.
We can do 100 episodes on healing.
I mean, we could, though, but...
Probably.
I mean, 100 over the course of our lifetime. Why not?
This year.
100 this year?
Yep.
That's two episodes a week.
I know. Just
I don't got money for that. we're still net negative. No, but yeah. I mean...
Buy our t-shirts. Buy our merch.
Yeah. Listen to them. These episodes, I'd love to do more of and, you know, scatter them out. Through the year, I want them to be, there's a lot more about 2024 that Zach and I'll cover in a nice little Instagram video.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm excited. This is something Zach's been really wanting to do. I mean, if you listen to the podcast from the beginning, from the first time he was on the Type 1 Diabetes episode as a guest, I mean, we briefly mentioned healing and through that episode and anxiety and depression episodes, we've mentioned our faith, our church life, and anybody who knows us knows that about us too. So I'm pumped for this. I'm very excited that Angel Lee is here because she's the best.
I'm glad to be here.
She's going to bring a lot to this.
She's so awesome. I married her.
I mean,
it's the truth.
It's a fact. Before we get into it, I want need a little story though.
Okay.
And when I say I need a little story, I'm going to say a little story.
Okay.
When Angel Lee and Zach started.
Oh yeah.
Started dating. Zach was in another country.
Another state.
It's called Missouri. Anything else?
Misery. Yeah.
That's what it's going to be tonight. Negative 30 at the Chiefs game, right?
Yeah. Negative 30 wind chills.
But I've known Angel Lee for a while, and she was like, started dating Zach and told me that we were going to be best friends.
Yes, I did.
And
what did you tell my wife?
Exactly what I said. I know like something along the lines of what I said.
I don't know if it was like, you don't pick my friends.
I think it was definitely something like that.
You don't choose my friends.
Yeah. And honestly, obviously a joke, but the first time Zach visited, obviously he got swarmed by the entire church family.
Yeah.
Because Angel Lee has a shiny brand new thing and his name is Zach.
I went to, when I visited the church, it was like I had
celebrity status. Like, Swift started dating Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
That's what Travis Kelce felt like.
Probably. But everyone was coming up like, you must be Zach. I met like 50 people that all knew me and I had no idea who they were. But anyways, continue.
Yeah. No, I think we just like shook hands and said, hey, and we had like a 32-second conversation. And I was like,
37. Yeah.
We'll round out at 35. And I was just like, yo, he's going to be my best friend. And then I hounded him. When are you moving here?
And then when I first moved here and we hung out, we had that whole like stepbrothers moment. Did we just become best friends?
Stepbrothers.
Yup. You want to go to the garage and do karate? Yup.
Yeah. You play the drums and I've never been allowed to touch your drum set.
That's true.
I haven't asked though.
Don't touch my drum set.
I don't think you've had a chance though.
Yeah. Nobody invites me over.
Well, the last time we did, you broke our furniture, so.
No.
You gave me the oldest, rustiest chair to the fattest person there that night.
We got new chairs.
Are you going to trust me to sit in the new chairs?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They won't break.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're. Okay. I forgot about that.
Oh, I have not, unfortunately. That is so embarrassing.
Why?
Because you just...
Do you know how many chairs I've broken in my life? But that's honestly...
It shouldn't have been on our account, though.
All right, I had to get that story in there, and that led to another funny story
of our friendship. Times.
So, okay. Zach.
So to start us off, I just want to say this, like, this is not a theological podcast, like the thing that I challenge anybody when talking about anything biblical is go to the Bible and find it for yourself. You know, we've done our own study, we've done our own, listened to our own teachings, we have our convictions and our faith on what healing is and what the Bible says about it, but don't take our word for it. As we talk about things, like, go to the Bible yourself, go do your study yourself, and find what you know what you see in the word, what God says about healing. So with that, starting off, I just wanted to start off because, you know, I don't know what all our listeners, what faiths they're from, what their life experience is, what their biblical knowledge is. I just wanted to kind of throw this out on the table. Like, what is healing? What do you guys believe healing is? What do you guys see that healing is in your life in a biblical perspective? What do you think?
I feel like this is going to be fun where you ask a question and I give like the fifth grade answer and then Angelia gives like the collegiate level answer. Like
the educated answer.
And no, it could be vice versa.
I'm going to feel like a tiny, tiny person. Like,
okay.
She's right. No. I mean, that's a big question.
It is though.
Like,
yeah,
if I could,
that's why I asked it.
If I could say it and then expound upon it afterwards, after we all kind of answer it. I mean, healing to me, it's healing is something that comes from the Lord. It's like when I had my leg repaired on, you know, the surgeon fixed my leg. He put the plate in there and screws and it works fine, but he didn't heal my leg. The bone is broken, but it was fused together with metal.
Yeah.
You know, if I had gotten healed from that, the bone would have been put back right where it was. It would have been fused together, made strong. And, you know, healing is from the Lord. It's a supernatural thing.
I agree. Wifey, what do you think?
Yeah, no, healing is, I think it can be from the most simplest things of like, whether it's a cold to something that's like almost like cancer. I mean, healing is when it's either supernaturally healed, but also it's sometimes, it can be instant or it can be a process. And both are just as much of a miracle as one is the other, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes we're more amazed about the big miracles, but it starts with like the little ones of like, oh wow, this isn't sore anymore. Or like, but healing is essentially like things that are not right made whole and complete and right. And it could be emotional, it could be body, soul, or spirit.
I think that was a great answer. In my mind, it's kind of the same thing, right? It's not just body, which most of the time we think body when we think healing, because I feel like it's the most tangible way to see it. Like, oh, my arm's broken. I prayed for it. It's not broken anymore. You know,
yeah,
type true. Healing. It's the most tangible that we can see, experience, and, you know, but it comes in all different forms, emotional, spiritual, mental, you know. But I would agree. It's something supernatural done by the Lord to bring restoration to something that's broken, something that's not working right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it can be instantaneous, but it also can be over a period of time. So it's interesting how it works, because I feel like God heals in a lot of different ways. So my next question for everybody, why do you believe in healing?
I simply believe in healing because the Lord is a healer. So it comes from my faith in Jesus Christ, and I know him as a healer, and it's through that relationship with him that I believe in healing. I've gotten to know him through, I mean, the Word, and through years of just, you know, spending time with the Lord. But essentially, that's why I believe in healing.
Yeah, I mean, it always, I know, sometimes it always sounds like a cop-out, and think about my...
Because Jesus.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I learned about Jesus in Sunday school, Mom. No. And, like, I can... Like, in my head while I'm doing this, I can imagine, you know, non-Christians or non-believers listening to this and be like, well, of course he's going to say that, but, like, I believe in it because it's in my Bible.
Yeah.
And, I mean... Honestly, whatever we talk about church-related, whether it's healing or when we get into worship or anything else, all of our answers are going to come back to our faith. Mm-hmm. It's going to come back to the Bible and the written word and the truths that we know, mm-hmm. and then the faith that we've developed over a lifetime.
Right.
So yeah. That's why I believe, because one, it's in the Bible. Like Angelia said, the Lord is a healer. And I can even imagine from... this question, you know, if we had 1 million listeners, we'd have 2 million questions saying, then why do people have things that are wrong with them?
Yeah.
And that is a whole...
Which I do believe is a valid question, but also that in and of itself could be a whole podcast or two episodes, exactly. You know, like, which I also am not opposed to tackling and approaching that
not
question.
But just for now, before we, you know, get into it further, I mean, the reason I believe is because of my faith. Even mm-hmm. if I had never seen a healing before, I'd still believe it.
Yeah.
Because it's in the Bible and it's one of the promises of the Lord. And,
mm-hmm.
but I have seen ones, I've seen other promises fulfilled.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense that the Lord would fulfill one promise and not the other. So.
Yeah. And kind of the same thing for me.
Copycat.
Listen, I'm letting y'all go first. Next question, I'm just going to go first and y'all will be copycats.
No, that's cheating.
But yeah, you know, kind of simple answer is I have my faith in the Bible says that God's a healer. It gives lots of stories and accounts of how he healed in both the New Testament and the Old Testament. And it even commands us to go out and heal. So, and outside of that, which we'll get into next, is I've seen healings in real life. You know, I've seen supernatural stuff that can't be explained. So I believe it because it's in the Word, and I believe it because I've seen it. You know? So, with that,
Before we get into the next question.
Okay. Though, yeah.
Because I'm trying to think of this from
a skeptic's point of view.
Not even skeptics, but for somebody listening to this who literally, like, not that they're a skeptic, but they've just never heard about it before. They're like, what are these three people talking about?
Yeah.
Like, I've already said the word supernatural once, and you've said the word supernatural once now. Like, I mean, that's a big word, and I feel like it's one of those words that, you know, we throw around a lot, but starting out with a topic like healing, which is, like I said, to me, it's a supernatural thing, even if it's big or small. Like, I think we should break down a little bit of it, because some of the things we say aren't going to make sense to a lot of people.
That is fair. Some
of the things in the next question we're going to answer, and they don't make sense to us outside of the fact that it's not supposed to make sense because we're trying to wrap a natural mind around a supernatural process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, we've said it three times now.
Supernatural, supernatural, supernatural.
Hold on. I don't have that many fingers on one hand. So, yeah, I just wanted to get that out. Not that we have to discuss it, but just that, you know, if we say something and we go over something and you're completely lost by it, but you do keep listening, awesome and thank you. But feel free to reach out and ask us, like, what did you mean by that?
Yeah.
Because
send us in questions.
We'd love to explain it. If you can't tell, this is something all three of us are passionate about. That's why we're talking about it and we're excited about it. And we want people to understand it more. And I just wanted to throw that out there.
So, supernatural, from my perspective as a Christian, basically means, you know,
God crocheted something?
Yeah.
What did he crochet?
He crocheted the universe.
Wow. I thought it was soft in here.
He created the natural universe, right? We talk about all these, you know, the laws of nature and all that, like God created the laws of nature. So, he created our bodies to naturally, you know, heal. Like, you get a cut, your body will naturally heal.
Mm-hmm.
But supernatural healing, like we're talking about today, because God created the natural order of things, he can also operate outside the natural order that he created. He made the rules, so he can also operate around and outside of them. So it's things like the example I already said, like, I break my arm, and it's hanging off at a weird angle, and I pray for it, and all of a sudden, whoosh, you know, snaps back into place and is perfectly fine. That's outside the natural order of things. Typically, you have to, you know, have that bone set. You have to put it in a splint or a cast or, you know, all these different things and give it time and stuff to heal. Whereas a supernatural healing from the Lord is something that happens, you know, outside of what would naturally occur with just human means and the natural order of things. You know, same thing like cancer. Okay, we have chemotherapy, we have different medications and stuff, different ways to fight it. Or there's supernatural where the Lord just comes and takes the tumor away, or, you know, the cancer disappears. You know, that's, in my mind, that's what I think of when I think supernatural healing is something that is not within the natural order, natural human means to accomplish. Any other comments? You guys have any ideas on that?
I already said mine. I started this whole thing.
I think I just want to add is, like, you know, healing, we believe healing, God has, we have the natural world here, but there's also the kingdom of heaven, right? So we can believe for here on earth what is accessible to the kingdom of heaven. A lot of times we think of, like, when we die, we go to heaven, but we know from our faith that the kingdom of heaven is accessible here and now. And it doesn't mean that we're going to be transported to the spiritual world right now, because we believe there's the natural world and the spiritual world, which is just as real as the chair we're sitting on.
Yeah. You know?
And so it's like we're believing for the things in the spiritual realm to happen in the natural realm that's available to us, because one, we believe it because the Lord said it was available to us, and now we're just contending and praying for it here in the natural world. And it's like hard to get my mind to, like, wrap around it. But, like, if I know, like, there's no sickness or disease in heaven because we have a perfect body in heaven, then I can believe for that here.
Yeah. So, on that note, what healings have you guys seen? Have you guys seen any healings in your own lives? Have you guys seen any healings? I know we've had several at our church, things like that. What stories or testimonies do you guys have of healings that you've actually seen? Wow, none. Cool. No. Okay.
There's a lot. Edit blank spaces out. We don't have to answer right away.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, like, what do we want to start with?
Right.
I got one that's going to, like, you know, home run, knock it out of the park. So I'll let some of the other ones go first.
I'll start with a really simple one. How about that?
Yeah, go for it.
So, like, I have a very physical job. So when I was working, I didn't use my ergonomics, right? I didn't lift something correctly, hurt my back, really painful to sit. And we were at just like a group with friends. And we were praying for each other for needs. And I went to go ask for healing for my back. And before I could even ask, the pain immediately went away. And it was like the Lord knew what I was going to ask before I even asked it. So it was really cool because it ended up becoming a testimony, and, like, my faith was built up from that. And it seems like super simple because it was just pain in my back from lifting something incorrectly. But, like, it really happened, and it's something very tangible for me.
That's awesome.
That's an awesome story. Yeah. I mean, like, I like that. One, because, like you said, you didn't even have to ask. Like, you're about to ask, and then you got healed of it. And, you know, back pain is not something that just goes away in a flash like that. Anybody who's had any back strain or anything knows.
Any back, like, injury, you know, knows.
You're either, you take rest, ice, ibuprofen, whatever, and then over the course forever. Of 3 to 4 weeks, maybe more, it gets better. Not in a, ow, this really, really, really hurts. And then, it's gone. So that's cool. I mean, I've seen some, but coolest, like, healings I've experienced was, and I think I talked a bit about it on the anxiety podcast, was, I don't know, I can't remember if it was last year when the church had its week of prayer and fasting, or if it was just one of the Holy Spirit encounter nights. But I remember getting prayer for my anxiety, because at that point it was, like, it was debilitating to the point where it was just affecting me physically as well. And, you know, I still take an anxiety medicine right now. But I was taking it then too, and it was still overwhelming and unbearable. And I remember just asking for prayer for it. And, you know, Pastor Matt prayed, and it was like an instantaneous, I felt like a lifting off of me. And yeah, sometimes I still get a little anxious. You know, I still tend to worry about things, especially with, you know, life changes. But it's not, like, affecting my appetite. It's not affecting my mood. It's not affecting how I interact with people or my job or anything like that. So as much as somebody might say, you know, it's not complete healing, well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I still got healed to the point where I
can function.
Yeah, yeah. I'm happier with my life the way it is compared to before I got prayer. And that's something that it's, you know, you can't see, it's not a cut or anything. But when I tell you I felt something break and lift, I did. And yeah, I was just, I'd never experienced that before. Mm-hmm. On like a mental healing. So that was, wow. That was one of the coolest ones I've experienced.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
And I think that also a good point that you made wasn't total and complete, but also in the Bible, sometimes there's a process to healing, right? Yeah. It's not always just, oh, everything's completely gone. Sometimes there's a process and steps and levels of it as it goes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that just shows to the fact that we were talking about, it's not always just the physical part.
Right.
You know, has emotional and mental aspects as right. well.
I think that is very interesting, though, is like through different processes, there's also healing. Like, it's not mm-hmm. just somebody prayed for me. Because I can remember in an instance where it was like a 6-month process of me forgiving somebody that I was actually healed in my physical state. And it was very interesting because it was a process of learning how to forgive. And in that forgiving, I actually physically was healed and didn't realize it. But it was like 6 months. And so healing can come in ways like you just don't even imagine. Yeah. I didn't think my having to forgive somebody would actually heal me physically. And it was very transformational for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and then...
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
So a couple other cool testimonies just from our church is, and I don't remember her name. I don't know if she would, I'm not going to say her name because
we don't got to say names.
Yeah. But this woman at her church that was in a car accident and had a bad head injury and went to the hospital for scans. And when they did scans, they found a tumor. And when they were, and also if I miss parts of this story, you guys just,
I'll let you know.
So she went for scans for a tumor, and I can't remember if it was cancerous or not, or if they didn't know it was cancerous yet. But that tumor then started causing a lot of issues, and she started getting prayer and prayer and prayer for it. And long story short, unless you guys want to fill in some of the inner details, I know she ended up getting a bunch of prayer for healing and stuff before one of these scans when they sent her to a specialist, like some sort of neurologist specialist. And when he did his scan, he couldn't find anything. The tumor was completely gone. And he was like, I don't know why they sent you to me. And then they got like the records and they're like, there's the tumor. Now it's not there. Like, you know, stuff like that. Just a tumor just doesn't disappear, and it wasn't something small either. And then my other one that I love from our church is the dude with the pacemaker.
Yeah.
So there's a guy at our church that had heart issues and had a pacemaker implanted. And then after the surgery, the incision site where they had gone in to put the pacemaker in got like infected and wasn't healing right. And so he was just asking for prayer for the incision, like, hey, I want this to heal right. And so he was getting prayer for that. And then our pastor was like, you know what? Why don't I just pray that instead of just for the incision, for your heart and for that pacemaker, that all of that could, you know, be taken care of. And later on, he ended up back in the hospital because the incision was infected.
Yeah, it was 10 days later.
Yeah. And he gets to the hospital and they're doing scans to check and the pacemaker is gone, completely gone, nothing in there. And he asked the doctors, like, could it have like somehow like fallen out, fallen off, whatever. And they're like, no, like it's wired into your heart. It can't just detach and fall off, you know? And then they did scans and also said, and the issues that you had with your heart, whatever the you know, rhythm, whatever, is gone. You're perfectly fine. You don't need the pacemaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
which is awesome, which is also what I've said, because if you guys have listened for a while, you know Zach and I are type 1 diabetes buddies and both on the same insulin pump. I said, when I get healed, I want that to happen to my pump. I just want it to disappear. So like when I reach down to my pocket where my pump always is, I just want it to be empty. Like my pocket will just, my pump won't be there anymore.
Oh, that's going to be so cool.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. Do you guys have any other stories you want to share?
If we had Pastor Matt's list, we could sit here day and go.
We could sit here for 5 hours.
The healings of the last few years at the church. But I mean, I don't think I do. I think these.
Okay.
This is good.
I have one more.
Well, yeah.
I have one.
I know you said you had the home run one.
Okay. So this actually happened when I was young. I was like 7, 8, or 9. My family was going to a church. This was back in El Paso. And it was a small church, kind of like a little bit bigger than a house church, you know, where we actually like rented a venue, but still very like close knit. And there was a guy at our church who, he was probably in his 40s or 50s, and he had had muscular dystrophy in his legs. And so he rode around in a motorized wheelchair. And he had been in a wheelchair for 10 years. So for 10 years, his muscular dystrophy had been so bad that he couldn't walk and he was in a wheelchair. And you could see, like, his legs had no muscle left on them. It literally was just, like, skin and bone and, you know, vascular system. Like, the muscle was just so atrophied that there was virtually no muscle left on his legs. And one Friday night, we had a prayer service for healing. And everyone was praying for him to get healed and stuff. And he said he went home. Well, yeah, I'm going to tell it from his perspective, from how he told it. He said this healing service was good. The prayer was good, you know, and he went home and, you know, went to bed that night. He said the next morning when he woke up, he grabbed his legs because he couldn't move them. So he would always grab his legs and throw them off the side of the bed so that he could sit up. And he said because of all the atrophy and everything in his legs and his feet, he couldn't feel through his feet. And so he said that he picked up his legs, threw them over the edge of the bed like he always does, and his feet hit the floor, and he said he felt it. He stopped for a second and thought, and then he goes, huh, my feet feel cold. And he was like, that's wild. Like, he hasn't felt that in years. He hasn't had feeling in his feet. And he said he hadn't even looked down at his legs yet. He just was like in autopilot doing what he always does. He said he looked down at his legs and he had full legs.
Wow.
Full muscle, full like everything. And he said he just sat there like looking at him for a while.
Going, what do I do?
Yeah. And so he said eventually he got brave and goes, well, I guess I'm going to give it a shot. And he stood up
and
started walking around. And so it was wild from my perspective. We had, you know, there was a prayer night on Friday. Then we go to church on Sunday and I'm already sitting there. And like, they're already playing worship. Like, worship's already going. And I see the door in the back of the sanctuary open up. And all of a sudden this guy that I've always seen rolling in on in his, you know, motorized wheelchair comes running down the aisle. He ran down the aisle to the front and just starts like jumping and dancing and going crazy. And I'm like, 8-year-old me, like, what is going on? Oh my God. Like, it was wild. Wow. So that's the wildest, most, you know.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
The most, I don't know how to put it, because all healings are miraculous. All healings are important. But that's the, you know,
when it became
the most
real for you.
Evident one, you know, that I've seen from that point on. Like, anyone in the world can tell me, oh, healing's not real. And I'm like, hey, you're wrong. You're absolutely 100% wrong.
Yeah.
Like, there is no way ever that any science can explain how that happened overnight, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing about healings like that is, you know, somebody could say, oh, you know, I had a cold and then I got prayer for it and it went away. And somebody's like, oh, yeah, well, the cold broke. Be like, okay, that could be it. I don't believe that's it. But when you have somebody who's been in a wheelchair for 10 plus years, who has no muscle tone in their leg, hasn't used their legs, you know, even if somehow they had gotten, you know, something in their spine to make their legs work again, the amount of and time of physical therapy to get back to walking. Mm-hmm. And 2 days later, he's running
and down, jumping and yeah. dancing.
Right. I mean, that's... It's stories like that, that, like you said, like, that's what we hold on to as healing is real.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Angel, you probably said it, you know, God will heal anything from the smallest thing to the biggest thing. You know, they don't have to be these groundbreaking, news-breaking things, but we're going to see those too, because that's God's way of letting us know that it is me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? It's... Mm-hmm. It's not anything else. This isn't coincidence or happenstance.
Yeah. Yeah. And while obviously that healing for that guy was huge, I mean, to get the ability to walk back again is massive. The healing of a headache is just as important for that person too. You know, I think sometimes we take for granted, you know, we want the healing to be the crazy thing, like my pump disappearing from my pocket and my pancreas working again. Or it could be like, oh, I have pain in my elbow and it went away. Like that could be that's a big deal for that person, you know?
Yeah.
So I just think, yeah, I think it's cool regardless of what level of healing it is. I think it's awesome. Now, for our next question, and this one's going to be really interesting, especially coming from... So, the next question is, what negative experiences have you had with healing ministries? So, I'm really interested to see the perspective, especially with my wife, who's a part of a healing team, healing ministry, and then for Zach and I, with the prayer for healings that we've, you know, gone to for decades now. Because I've had some real weird experiences. And it's something that we've talked about. We kind of mentioned in the Type 1, podcast that we've had some real, real weird.
I feel like my answer is going to be easier and more mundane than either of yours. So I'll kick it off.
Yeah, go for
because
it.
Because I got diagnosed with diabetes when I was 12. And by then, we had left our home church since I was born, which is very similar to what Redeeming Love is, which is the church we go to, by the way. And then I hopped around from Presbyterian to Baptist to, you know, kind of Baptist, kind of non-denominational, but giant church where I like really wasn't plugged in with anything. Some of the churches who didn't necessarily believe in the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, when I landed at Redeeming Love, you know, I was familiar with a lot of things and teachings, but I wasn't like gung-ho all in or anything, because it was just a weird time in my life too. So most of my healing experience is just at Redeeming Love. And I can say this with like a big old smile on my face that me personally haven't experienced any negative things from the healing ministry at Redeeming Love. And I'm sure the stories Zach will tell or even Angelia will tell that it's not the same everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, nobody ever made me feel like it was my fault that I wasn't healed, that I'm still not healed. So to be honest, I personally don't have any negative experiences. I know of a lot of negative experiences, but I think that's ground that both of you can probably cover a little bit better than I can.
Also, I just wanted to say, with this question, my intent is not to bash anybody. My intent is not to tear anybody down or make anybody look bad. My intent is to share some experiences. So if there are people that are either struggling with, you know, needing healing and have maybe been through some of these, to give them good perspective, or if there are people involved in healing ministry, to understand like, hey, maybe look at the biblical, you know, ways that healing occurs, what the Lord says about healing before you start making comments. Right. You know, it's to bring awareness so that things can be done correctly and biblically, and to understand kind of how that affects, especially for someone like Zach and I, who still believe in healing, believe we are going to be healed, have had prophetic words, promises, things like that of healing, but haven't seen it yet. You know, that is its own battle for, you know, years. But I think it's dangerous for people to assume that they know why you didn't receive or haven't received your healing yet. So, like, for me, I've had, oh my gosh, I've had a lot of wild experiences because I've been a part of a lot of different ministries, gone to a lot of different churches, and I've had things from, you know, someone telling me, oh, well, if it didn't happen, you obviously don't have faith. Like, it must be your fault because you don't have faith. That's why you're not getting healed. To people telling me like, oh, you must have some hidden sin. You must have whatever. Just confess it right now. You must have some hidden sin. No. Go confess it right now so you can get healed. And I'm like,
if it were that easy,
if it were that
don't
simple,
you think we would do that?
Oh, dude.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'd rather have this illness for 22 years and pay thousands and thousands of dollars than just be like, oh, yeah, no, I got this hidden thing that I
can't let go of.
Like,
no.
It, or be like, who haven't you forgiven? Which forgiveness is a part. So these things that I'm mentioning, faith, hidden sin, forgiveness, are a part and can affect healing.
But
there can
always
be hindrances to healing, but not always. So couple biblical knowledge with some, you know, power of the Holy Spirit and some discernment, and don't start accusing people if you're praying for them for healing. That's not your place. That's the Holy Spirit's. So, but yeah, I've been told I must have like hidden unforgiveness, must have hidden sin. I must, and I'm like, I was 11 when I was diagnosed. What like horrible hidden sin did I have as an 11-year-old? Like, come
on. Those were still the good days for me. Those were before I hit my teens. And,
yeah. And I was still a happy-go-lucky, innocent child, you know. And then I did have one interesting experience, though, with a leader, a youth leader at one of the churches that I went to, who was praying for me once. And he never vocalized this while he was praying, which is good, but it was kind of cool because he shared it with me afterwards. He goes, I was praying for you for healing, and I kept on thinking to myself, Lord, give him faith. He doesn't have faith. He's not getting healed. Give him faith. And he said in that moment, the Lord stopped him and said, no, he has faith. Why don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
To the guy that was praying for me. And he said it was like a gut check. Oh, like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. That's awesome that he shared that with
you. Yeah. He shared it with me later because he was like, you know, I had been at, this is when I was in junior high. So he'd seen me from when I was diagnosed to like a couple years later. This was a couple years later. And he was like, I'd always wondered like, why isn't he getting healed? You know, things like that. And so he said he had this assumption in his mind and the Lord like corrected him and he wanted to do it to like encourage me like, hey, the Lord sees your faith, you know?
Yeah.
And that's also another part of it as someone that prays for people. And I'm sure Angelique can talk on this a little bit more. As the person ministering and praying, arguably you having faith is more important than the person who's asking for prayer having faith. But yeah, it's really interesting. And those experiences have caused me to really dig into the Bible to go, okay, this person said I need to do this or that or whatever. Like, what does the word actually say about healing? And there's lots of different things, you know. And I want to share, like, if you read the Gospels and look at how Jesus healed, if you read the New Testament and see how the different apostles healed, there are certain things that, yes, you should do, but there's no, like, 1, 2, 3 step to getting healing. Mm-hmm. Like, the Lord did it a dozen different ways with a dozen different people, mm-hmm. you know, so that it's not a checklist of, you know, and it, which to me means it's solely reliant on the Holy Spirit and the power of the Lord instead of it becoming this list that we can check all the boxes and make it happen, you right. know, because then it wouldn't rely on God. But
yeah.
Do you have?
I haven't personally had any negative experiences. I've heard a lot of negative experiences about a healing team, but being on a healing team, I think it's important to remember, like, we can't answer for God. Like, people come up looking for answers, and sometimes we can't give it to them, and sometimes it's best not to give it to them because we don't know ourselves. And so I feel like a lot of that negative experiences comes, like, when we're trying to create an answer for why we're not seeing a result that we personally want.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's where a lot of those negative experiences come, but I know a lot of times when I'm like, I see the same person coming up for prayer and I'm like, all right, Lord, is this on me? Like, if I'm praying for someone, do I not have enough faith? You know what? Let me partner my faith with theirs. Let me partner with their faith instead. And again, there's so many different things that can go into why or why not someone is healed, but we can't point a finger and place blame. Like, that's huge. You can't do that. And I think the biggest thing is sometimes it's just best to keep your mouth shut because I don't really know. You know, I don't know the answer. I can know what the word says and how I can pray for somebody. And that's the only thing in that moment that I should do. Mm-hmm. And unless I really feel like it's from the Lord, which the Lord edifies, encourages, and comforts. And unless it's a word of edification, encouragement, or comfort, I'm not going to give it.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
And if that's it good. Is something of correction, you need to grab a pastor or a lead and talk to them about it before giving that. Because that's not, when someone comes up for prayer, that's not my place, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's important to remember. And as people, sometimes we can forget that when we're praying for someone because we want to see healing so bad, but it's not us that's giving the healing, it's the Lord. Like, sometimes I'm like, all right, my faith, their faith, and we're just going to have the Lord do whatever he's going to do. But I think the biggest thing is, like, trying to remember, like, we don't know the answer. And when we try and give an answer of why the Lord does or does something, we can hurt somebody.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, to go off of what you just said, I don't even remember the context of it, but when you know, Pastor Chris came to that small group and he was wondering something, like, why something, and the Lord told him, do you really think I need you for this?
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, it's not, like you said, it's not our place. It's like where you stand in the gap and you deliver exactly what you said, prayer and comfort and encouragement. But I mean, you don't have any more healing power than the pastor does, than
this table does.
I feel like that opens up a giant can of worms because
handkerchiefs. Biblical.
But the table itself. Okay. Nope. Well, I don't want to do it. The table itself isn't going to heal me.
Right. And neither am I.
Right.
I'm just a conduit.
You're something.
Special. Yeah. Yeah. No. I think that was super good, babe. It was awesome.
She's smart.
I told you early on, she's smarter than me.
Well, I think it also comes from a place of, like, you know, we've all been hurt, right? And, like, the last thing we want to do is hurt somebody else. So, I want to make sure we're not doing that. You know, they came out for healing, not to get hurt more. So, you know, that's so I don't want someone to leave feeling like hurt or like, or even I don't want to be the reason for their healing process to take longer. You know, wow. I want to make that either they're going to get healed now or it's a speedy recovery. You know, I want to build their faith and have them walk out with a higher faith, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to make sure that when I'm praying for somebody for healing, like my heart's in the right spot and I'm like basically humble of like, I don't know all the answers and like, you know.
Yeah.
And that could be what they needed healing for to begin with anyway. They may have come up for a headache not realizing that their, you know, their faith or soul, spirit, mind or something needed that healing. I mean, there's stories of, you know, I always look to Pastor Stacy praying for one thing and then a different thing got healed that she wasn't even praying for.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes what we're asking for, it's not in the timeline of what the Lord has for us, but something else can get healed.
Yeah.
So that's why you don't, you know, when you're praying for something, you don't assume the responsibility or the knowledge of what exactly has to be done.
Yeah.
Well, and that, I think, goes back, I mean, exactly to what you said about when you come up with, when someone comes up with, like, these things that they have to say, it's almost them trying to justify or make an excuse or figure out an answer for why something didn't happen if healing doesn't occur in front of them. And that was actually one of the things that helped me get over some of these hurts from things that people had said was someone pointed out, hey, them making those comments really just points to their lack of faith and trying to, you know, cover whatever's happening with them while they're struggling with the fact that, oh, I prayed and nothing happened, you know? And so, yeah, exactly what you said. If you don't see anything happen and you're praying for someone, like, don't try to make an answer. Like,
yeah,
that's on God.
It's hard for us as Americans because we have the answer for everything.
Yeah.
Or at least we think so because we can Google it, you know? Yeah. We have immediate answers. Smart. But, you know, if we haven't, we have to be okay with not knowing the answers too. So.
Yeah. So.
The only other thing that just popped in my head is, I don't count it as a negative or anything, but I have had people sometimes, like, as they've prayed for me, like, not getting healed, like, they just begin to pray louder, which I think, like, I can understand the idea behind it, like, praying with more passion and more belief is totally fine, but sometimes, like, I have gotten the feeling, whether they intended or not, but, like, maybe just got, like, God can't hear right now, or, like, like sometimes,
he's
like...
He's a little far away, he's a little hard of hearing, yell a little louder.
Yeah, and like, it would remind me of, like, when somebody who, like, doesn't speak English, like, in the TV shows, and then the American just starts yelling louder at them, as if that's going to make them understand...
Oh, man.
English.
That's funny.
That's actually really funny. So I was just
like, well, you know, you don't have to yell.
It's okay. Fine. So there's stories of people like punching tumors out.
That's like next level faith, man.
Yeah.
Angelia, would you punch a tumor if the Lord told you to?
I mean, I would have to know that I 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 heard from the Lord.
That's one of those ones that you build up to. Let me just get the praying down and getting the headaches gone.
That would be one. Just, I don't know. I'd have to be pastor? Like, Pastor,
come here real quick.
Although I think our pastor would be like, the Lord told you to, go for it.
I don't know. Be like, I think he'd approach that one with caution. I don't know. You'd have to... really know from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, but there is confirmation, though. I do have to say that. That's true. Because I have heard, like, people who have seen healings, they would walk into a room and like someone like the paralytic or something like that. There was I don't remember the names but I remember the story of two people walked in and instantly they knew that that man was going to be healed. Like the two people that were going to be praying for people, they knew. And so they knew that when they went to pray for him, he would be healed and he would end up walking out that day. And so it's like, I do believe that there is confirmation of healing. And I don't know if it's just...
And confirmation of method.
Yeah. I feel like there would have to be confirmation. Because a lot of times with these people who see many, many miracles, there's either an intercessor that goes with them or there's people that are praying with them as well.
Correct.
And so I do feel like there would be confirmation with it.
That's a very good point. So the last topic... And I think this one's going to be a really good one because this one, and this is for me and Zach as praying for long-term praying for healing. And then also for you, Angelia, as you mentioned, being on the healing team and seeing people repeatedly come up for healing. How do you hold on and continue to pray and fight for prayer for healing when you don't see it happening? I can lead this one off. That probably has been one of the biggest struggles of my faith. Because, like I said, now this year will be 22 years that I've had diabetes. So that's 2/3 of my life so far. I've had diabetes. And... you know, from the day that I was diagnosed, the Lord gave me words, gave me scriptures that I was going to be healed. And over the years, I've had different prophetic words. I've had, you know, people have visions of stuff, of my healing. And I 100% believe it. It's in the Word. It's in the Bible. But I have gone through many times where I was like, oh, this today's the day, you know, this service, this is the night, you know, that it's going to happen, you know, and not seeing it. And so I've really had to wrestle with, what does that mean? Does God really want to heal? Does God really want to heal me? You know, is there something that I'm doing wrong? You know, and that's one of the things I think if you're not seeing healing, I think it is good to address those things. Look in your heart, ask the Lord, am I not forgiving someone? Do I have some sort of hurt that I'm not, you know, letting you in, letting you bring, you know, healing to that emotional part or spiritual part of me? Is there some, you know, sin or something that I am holding on to and refusing to, like, you know, to let go of? Those are things to do. And then follow different, you know, the steps in the Word, like go to the elders at your church, you know, go receive prayer for healing from the elders. You know, it's in, I think it's James talks about present yourself to the elders of the church for healing, you know, and all these things. But having done all those different steps, I had to learn that, you know what? I'm not God. You know, His ways are not my ways. His thoughts aren't my thoughts. I can't and I don't have to understand why, you know, because I've seen people get those instantaneous healings and then I've seen people, you know, not get healed on this side of eternity, you know, on this earth. But I know that from my Word, reading the Bible, that it is His will to heal everybody. And one of the things that really got me to that place was looking through and reading about Jesus's ministry in all four Gospels, minus one or two cities. It actually might have just been His home city of Nazareth, because of their lack of faith and kind of their antagonism against Him. Everywhere He went, it said He healed all who came to Him.
Yeah.
So every time it was His will, it was His goal to always heal And I had to keep that in my mind going, okay, like, that is his goal. That is his heart is always for healing. I can't figure out why mine hasn't come yet, but also I don't need to know why. Because I can also trust on the verse that he gave me the very first day that I was diagnosed was Romans 8:28. It says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So go, okay, I don't know why it's hasn't happened yet. I don't know what he's doing or why it's been delayed, but I know that his desire is to heal me. And then I hold on to those promises.
Yeah.
Because, hey, Abraham had to wait 25 years for his promise. So I haven't hit 25 years yet.
Only 3 more years to go.
Yeah, so.
Or David. I mean, he waited 40 years to become king after that's he was true. Anointed.
Well,
let's stick I'm with just, the 25. I'm closer to that one.
But, you know, the king that he was when he eventually was king, he wouldn't have been that king if he was, like, king 5 years after he was anointed as king. So it made him into the king he was.
Yep.
And his relationship with God those 40 years. I would never pray that over somebody, you know?
Like, I don't buckle up be for like, 40 years, bud.
Yeah. Like, who knows why? I don't know why someone is healed or not healed, but
right.
Who knows the process they're going through? I would never pray that over anybody. I would never want anyone to go through ups and downs of life of, like, why am I healed or not healed? I mean, I want to believe for the instantaneous healing. I believe in the process, but I would never pray over a long, like, oh, yeah. Lord, I pray you heal them in 30 years. No, I would never pray that over anyone. Why? Because if I had that, it would suck, you know? It would be terrible.
Well, you know, one of the things that really also put it in perspective for me, because I've had those moments where I've been, like, mad at God and been like, oh, why haven't you done the, you know, you promised this, why haven't you done, the, you know? I've had those moments. They're very real moments, like... Mm-hmm. It's a part of that journey of, you know, wrestling through these emotions and delayed prayers, delayed answers to prayers. But one of the things that really kind of put it in perspective for me was reading the book of Job. Because Job had a bunch of terrible things happen to him. And he got to that point where he was like, God, why'd you let all this happen to me? Blah, 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 you know. And the Lord answers him and essentially goes, you know, who are you to question me? He talks about, like, did you tell the oceans that they could come this far and no further? Did you, you know, set all the stars and hang them exactly where they're supposed to be? You know, all this stuff kind of putting in perspective of who I am to go, okay, my bad. I'm a little out of line to question you, to yell at you. But at the same time, he also spoke with compassion, like, you know, how he loves him, takes care of him, and then he blesses him, like, doubly after that whole process and gives him back twice as much as anything that was lost, you know. So, I don't know. That's just kind of a little bit of my journey. There's a lot more that I could dive into with it and go a lot longer, but I just think... It's a wild journey going through, you know, essentially just delayed healing, delayed answers to prayer. But you guys have?
I think it comes back to, like, I have to be okay with not knowing the answer. And that was a process for me to realize. A lot of times it's like I need to change the conversation going in my head, because everything my mind is telling me right now isn't true. And it's like, all right, if it's not backed up by the word, like, I gotta, like, basically spit out everything that I'm thinking and really just chew on what the word says. And even though my circumstances of praying for people are telling me otherwise, I still have to, like, make sure I'm planting that foundation on what I know the word says, because it says the word will never return void. And so if I hold on to that, I know that what I'm praying, it will come to be, even if it's not in the way that I want. But I have to be okay that, like, God's not a genie. He's not going to always He's not going to give us what we want. That's not who he is. But he's good, and he's a good father, and we have to remember, like, who he is in the midst of us believing for healing.
I mean, over the last few years especially, I've just learned to worship through things. Mm. Like, one of the things Pastor Matt told me once is, it's good until it's gone. And, like, I know it's going to be gone, and there's nothing I can do about it. And for years, I always wondered why, and wondering and questioning why I did absolutely nothing to help my circumstance. So then I just stopped. I mean, I don't know why I haven't been healed for what I want to get healed for yet. And to be quite honest with you, I don't care to know the reason why anymore, because I know it's going to happen. And one of the stories that always stuck out to me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Rakshak and Benny for our VeggieTale aficionados, you know, when they get thrown in, before they get thrown in the furnace, they say they have, you know, faith that the Lord they serve will come and save them. But even if he doesn't, you know, they will have, you know, died serving the one true king.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I have complete faith that I'm going to get healed here on earth. But even if I don't, I'm going to have a perfect body in heaven. So at the end of the day, it didn't matter to me.
Yeah. Wow, that's good.
That is good. Those are the questions, comments that I had for this episode on healing. Thank you, babe, for coming and inputting with us.
Thanks for having me.
You have a bright future on this podcast.
You do. You'll see her again. We've already got at least one other episode lined up with her that she's going to come talk on. So I'm sure she'll be back for more. Yeah, healing to me is a big deal. It's a big part of our life as Christians, and it's also a big point of contention for a lot of people. So I kind of wanted to just share some of my personal experiences, some of our own struggles, some of our own beliefs, so that, you know, if there's anybody else out there struggling with these things, thinking of it, you know, trying to figure it out, hey, maybe this will give you a little insight, maybe it'll help you. And if you are listening and you have questions about healing, you got struggles about healing, you're going through, you know, that rough journey as well, like, feel free to contact us, message us. We would love to talk. We'd love to answer some questions. If you have your own journey or story of healing or whatever, and you'd like to come share it, like, hit us up, contact us, and we'll see what we can do. But yeah. And if you're not, you know, a believer or baby believer or questioning things and, you know, talking about some of this stuff with faith, you know, stirs any other questions and stuff, feel free to hit us up and contact us. We love taking questions. We love talking to people. It's kind of the whole point of this podcast.
Before you read something out, I want to read something. Like Zach said, if you have your own stories or anything, or even just comments, like, they go a long way with us, either through the website or social media or whatever. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but somebody had just sent us a message through our website expressing their gratitude and how much they appreciate us talking about things that they struggled with, chronic illnesses, anxiety, and appreciated the fact that, you know, we keep it kind of lighthearted. We really enjoy those messages and knowing that, you know, people are listening and it's helping make a difference in somebody's life. So, you know, if you think other people are writing in, that doesn't mean you can't write too. So I wanted to throw that in there.
This has been another episode of the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. We appreciate everyone who listens. If you like our podcast, you like what we do, you like to hear what we have to say, go ahead and like, subscribe, follow, all that stuff. And if you want to support the podcast, feel free to go grab some of our merch. We've got cool merch, hoodies, t-shirts, stuff like that.
I got a cool crew neck sweater. It's awesome.
My wife has a sweater. I have a hoodie and a t-shirt. So yeah, we would be grateful for any support. And really, we would be grateful if you like what we're doing here and you love listening to us, share the podcast with friends. If you know someone that, you know, one of our episodes could help, or one of our more lighthearted episodes could cheer up or make laugh, like, feel free to share our podcast with anyone and everyone. And we just really appreciate everyone who listens, and especially those who listen faithfully. And with that, that's been another episode. We will see you guys next time.